Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Bishalach Sheni, the second Aliyah in Parshas Bishalach. It is a short Aliyah on the topic of fear in the ranks. It is only six psukim long, running from Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Tes to Yudalet. Let's take a look at a brief overview and then we'll jump into some points to ponder. We hear that Mitzrayim are now chasing after the nation of Israel. They catch up to them where they're camping on the embankments of the sea. And it sounds like the call Sus Rechev Paro Parashah V'Chela. It's the army, it's the chariots, it's the cavalry, and they're all have them surrounded. As they come close, Bnei Israel look up. They see that Egypt is following them, Vayiru'u Me'od, and they are very scared. They call out to Hashem. They say then to Moshe Rabbeinu, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you have to take us out to the desert to bury us here? Didn't we tell you in Egypt, leave us alone and we'll just carry on serving? Why? It's too difficult to take us through this route. It is better for us to serve Mitzrayim than for us to die in the desert. Moshe Rabbeinu responds to them. He says, don't fear. Stand and you're going to see that Yeshua is Hashem, the salvation of God, which He will do for you today, like you saw, as you see in Mitzrayim today, you will never see them again. Hashem will fight for you, and you will be made silent. What is referring to this? Referring to what is going on over here? So there's a number of questions to ask on this Aliyah. Number one is, what generated all this fear? After all, did Bnei Israel not see all the incredible makos, plagues, wonders, and things that went on in Egypt? Why is it that now they are doubting? Why are they scared at this point in time? Rav Sorotzkin points out a very beautiful idea, and that is seeing is different to hearing. We can tell ourselves, we believe, but then when we actually see the chariots approaching us, it's not so easy to believe. Remember once I had a chance to take a ropes course, and you're standing there, 20, 30 feet above the ground, and you're on the middle of this platform, which is shaking every time you breathe in. And it's abject fear. If you're caught in the middle of that, it's very hard to get across some sections. And the funny thing is that you're wearing a harness. And so even if you fall, you're not going to fall. You'll just get caught by the harness, but you still live in fear. We can know that we're safe, but we don't feel we're safe. And that's where Bnei Israel were. They knew that Hashem had helped them, but they still saw the chariots coming. And that's where they were standing right now. Rashi says that what they saw, what made them even more concerned, was they didn't just see Egypt. When it says Mitzrayim, it refers to Saroi Shel Mitzrayim. It refers to the spiritual agent of the armies of Egypt, which meant that there was a celestial power representing Egypt, which they saw. Rav Sorotzkin has another perspective on this, that he says if you think about it, you remember during the plague of Barad, the only people who actually had any horses to ride with in the cavalry or the chariots would be ones who took their horses in to the stables when they were warned by Moshe Rabbeinu, which means those are the Devar Hashem, those who feared the word of God, who are the ones who took their horses in. Those were the ones who possibly had horses, and yet they themselves are coming out, which meant to say that Bnei Israel were now really scared, because here you have the best of the Mitzrayim who are coming after them. That's who they notice. Rav Hirsch points out, just bearing all of this in mind, bearing these three different avenues of thought in mind, we see an important point about the nation of Israel, and that is the Jewish people are not easy masses to convince about anything. They're not the type of cult followers who just will jump on the bandwagon and do kinds of all terrible things to themselves because of a charismatic leader. Anytime they're asked to do something, anytime the goings get difficult, anytime there's a question to be asked, they are questioning, they are doubting, they are pushing back. That means to say that when they did accept the Torah, when the nation of Israel does accept the Torah, it was because they surmounted all their skepticism and concern. That means it was a real acceptance. This was not because they were a gullible people, and we can see it in all of these hesitations that we're going to see now and throughout the parasha. Another question which is asked is, if you hear about this, it does on the one hand say that there was all the cavalry of Egypt, but in the previous Aliyah we hear about 600 chariots. Now 600 chariots, and they're a formidable weapon, and this is the most advanced technology in the world at this point in time, is the chariot. But in the end of the day, there are arguably 3.2 million Hebrews. Because if you think about it, there's 600,000 men, that means 600,000 women, and then let's add in, let's say, two children per family, which they're obviously vastly a greater amount than that. Why is it that they were even scared? Just the masses, overpower the chariots. They will never get anywhere if everybody runs the chariot. Yes, a few people will be maimed and killed, but in the end of the day, they will stop the chariots. Ibn Ezra says the reason they couldn't do that was because of their slave mentality. They were beaten into submission so long that they had not the opportunity, the volition, the strength, the inner resilience to fight back, and that's where they lived. Very important point. That's perhaps why it is that Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the leader, is Minamay Mishasil. He has an Egyptian name. He grew up in the Egyptian palace. He, in a certain sense, does not have that mindset of the slave. Now the question when did they say that they wanted to stay in Egypt? They say now, we told you, leave us alone, we'll still serve in Egypt. When did they actually say this? So the Rashi points to the fact that the end of Parshas Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu first made his demands on Pharaoh, and Pharaoh removed the stocks, he removed the straw to make the bricks, and still demanded the same output. That was when a group came to him and saw him standing up, and they said, you know, why is it that you're asking for freedom now? Things have got worse. That was the same group who was saying now, well, we should have stayed in Egypt. Finally, one last question of this Aliyah is, why are they told to keep quiet? Why is it that Bnei Israel are told to keep quiet? Isn't prayer always the appropriate thing to be doing? We'll explore this a little bit next Aliyah as well. So Rav Sorotskin quotes the Chaye Adam. Chaye Adam, Rav Danzig, has a beautiful addition to the Tefillah Zakah, to the prayer said just before Yom Kippur, and he says the following. It says, the mouth, the tongue, the lips, and the teeth are like the four big day kohuna, the garments of the priesthood, which are worn in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Chaye Adam would say that Hashem, I have defiled my garments of kohuna. I have defiled my implements of avodah for you, which is my service of tefillah. Why? Because of the way I've spoken, the way I've used my mouth, the way I've used my tongue, my lips, and my teeth have been impurified. What Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to them is, Atem tacharishun, you'll be quiet because by complaining you've doubted God. By complaining you've articulated the fact that you don't really believe that He has what it takes. So therefore you should keep quiet now, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu can facilitate this without you being able to pray, because you've now dismissed this avenue of prayer. With this we conclude the second Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful